Well, they could do something that they're probably used to anyway. If you can stand, would everyone stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Go ahead and take your seats. Notice the words in that Pledge of Allegiance. Under God. Now, look at our money. Got a $10 bill here. What does it say in the back? It says, in God we trust. Now, this is not a general God that could mean any higher power. When we established this nation, this country was established under the God who sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross to save us for our sins. This is the God who indwells every person who believes in him, who is saved with his Spirit. And this is a jealous God who refused to honor any God that we come up with our own imagination, invented by man. Lest we get confused on who this God is, we read in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Every one of the founders gave great credit to Jesus Christ. Every one of the founders gave great credit to the Bible. George Washington said, it is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. Some have tried to codify the Bible as the law of the land. That was refused. Why? We are not a theocracy. We are a democratic republic instructed by the Bible. Therefore, this does not become the law of the land because it cannot apply to everybody. But we use these to show us exactly how to run a nation. Do you think it mere coincidence that we lie in such a great country? Do you think it mere coincidence that we have been blessed agriculturally, materially, spiritually, physically, that all our enemies have been held at bay? God has chosen to bless us. He has provided the rain in due season. He's provided the materials to build our great country. He's raised up people to invent things for us, to protect us, to instruct us, to guide us in righteousness, in truth. He has kept our enemies at bay. It is God that will remove every one of those blessings if we refuse to continue to honor him. Now, when President Obama told businesses, you didn't build that, he wasn't 100% wrong. The problem was he tried to give credit to himself and government in what made this country great. You didn't build it would be accurate if we realized it is God that has blessed us. It is God that has provided. It is God that has made it so that we can do the things we do today. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He blesses those that honor God. He judges those that dishonor God. Now, we see a lot of similarities between the United States and Israel. We're going to look at those today. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll read from verses 6 to 20. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8, what we're looking at here as you're turning to it, this is Moses instructing the children of Israel as they're looking to enter into the promised land. They will be blessed as long as they remember God. They will be cursed if they forget God. Once again, there are many similarities between the United States and Israel. So as we read Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 6. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil olive and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Dear Heavenly Father, as we celebrate this Independence Day, as we look at the fact that you established this nation in righteousness, we had people that wanted to serve you, and doing so, Lord, you have blessed us beyond measure. You have blessed us so incredibly much. Lord, let us not forget that it is you that has blessed us. Lord, you have called us to do things. You have called us to use our skills and our abilities to serve each other. But it is you that have provided the ability to do so. It is you that has protected us. It is you that allowed us to beat a nation far stronger than us. Lord, let us not forget that. Let us serve and honor you. And those now who are turning their back on you, Lord, now, Lord, I pray that you would drive them to their knees, that you would make them humble themselves in front of you, that they would once again see the great and glorious God that has established this nation, and you would make it so that we can serve you in spirit and truth. We ask all of your precious sons, dear name, amen. As I said, there are a lot of similarities between Israel and the United States of America. Just as Israel was established by God and blessed, we were established by God and blessed. Just as Israel became the mightiest nation in the world, is there anybody doubt here that the United States is not the mightiest nation in the world now? Just as Israel was the richest nation in the world, we have been the richest nation in the world. Just as Israel perished for forgetting their God, we are currently perishing because we are forgetting our God. Just as Israel lost its independence, we will soon lose our independence to the Antichrist. Sowing the wind of false God worship, we are now reaping the whirlwind as we speak. Israel took credit for God's blessings and lost them. We are losing blessings the same way. With Israel, God blessed us. With Israel, we despised his blessings. And with Israel, we have been serving other gods. So let's look at how God blessed us. Once again, if you look at Israel, you look at the United States, the similarities are very striking. Both were established, replacing the current occupants. Israel replaced the pagan nations that dwelt in the land of Canaan. The United States, from those who lived here, called Native Americans today, called Indians, whatever you want to, the people who lived here, and the British who colonized it. Both faced seemingly unbeatable enemies. Remember, originally when the spies came, the spies looked and crossed the Jordan and says, man, this is a great land. Everything God promised is true. It's a land of milk and honey. It's incredible, but we can't go. There is no way we can beat all these giants. There are too many. We cannot go. The United States came and beat a very well-equipped, very well-disciplined, very rich army, the best in the whole world. And what did we have? We had a bunch of ill-equipped, ill-trained, with lacking money, lacking skills. And that army beat that incredible army. So we had the Canaanites with the giants, the Anakims. Israel beat them. We had the British, the most powerful army the world had ever seen. And yet the God had us beat them. Both were established by God to serve God. Israel, with God's chosen race, given God's chosen men, to then choose to serve the God that chose to bless them. The United States came to a country to serve God of the Bible, escaping the persecution of the false state-run churches of Europe. and he established a nation to serve the God that established it. Israel needed faith to take the promised land. Attacking Jericho with tactics no military man would ever have come up with. But they did it. Why did they do it? Because God told them to. And when they did it, God honored that, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And it happened over and over and over again with Joshua. They kept doing things that the military would look at you and say, you're nuts. But God wanted to prove that he was the one giving them the victory. Realizing it was God and not their own might that which would give them the victory, they sought God before every battle. The United States had to have faith in God to obtain a victory. In May of 1776, fighting was well underway in the American Revolution. For General George Washington, it was a stressful time. Under his command in New York, he had about 7,000 men. The ragtag army was poorly trained. They were about to face some 30,000 soldiers from the most highly trained and successful military force in the world. The Americans were outnumbered and outgunned. As they waited New York for the onslaught of British military power, Washington issued orders for his troops to pray for the campaign ahead. On May 17, 1776, he wrote that that day was to be observed as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, humbly to supplicate the mercy of Almighty God, that it would please him to pardon all our manifold sins and transgressions, and to prosper the arms of the United Colonies, and finally establish the peace and freedom of America upon a solid and lasting foundation. Anyone have any question that this nation was founded on godly principles by godly men? Right there, you see right there exactly what the men were trusting in. The rest is history. We stand here, a free country. We stand here, independent. We stand here as a nation blessed and established by God. It's much different than today's military refusing to allow Christians to pray in the name of Jesus. Now, Joshua came to the River Jordan. Turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 to 13. Joshua speaking to the troops about the cross of Jordan. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land, which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sunrising. And he answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whatsoever thou sendest us, we will go. We see what Joshua commanded them to do. And we see that in faith they did it. I mean, they're looking at this big river, the Jordan River. They have no idea they're going to cross it. They didn't know that it was going to split and they're going to walk on dry land. They didn't know that these armed cities full of giants were going to fall to them. They just realized Joshua has shown us many things. Moses showed us many things. We follow God. He will give us the victory. And they went and crossed. That's what we need to do the same way. Israel took possession of the land, and God blessed them like no other nation ever. The United States was established by God, and God has blessed us like no nation ever. However, we see back in Deuteronomy, when you start enjoying the blessings of God, you start thinking that it's your own power and your own hand that did it. A man has much pride. Man wants to take credit for absolutely everything that happens. I read an article about Massachusetts. Why is Massachusetts so rich? Because Massachusetts is so smart. That's what the article said. They have all kinds of colleges, and that's why they're so rich. Once again, man's wisdom, man's power is what gets the credit. I've driven to Massachusetts. I'm not sure they're that bright, but that's beside the point.
They are.
So, looking at the blessings of God, every breath I take is a blessing from God. He gives me life and so much more, a life abundant in his love, in his service, in his guidance. He promises me food and raiment from his word, but he has blessed me with so much more than that. Now, is this a problem? It's not a problem if I thank him and worship him for who he is and acknowledge it is him that gave me these blessings, not me. He may have given me the gifts to be able to go earn those blessings, but it is him that gave me those gifts. It was he that made the framework that allowed me to earn whatever I got. It is he that has kept me safe. You know, if ISIS starts really hitting everything hard, the economy is going to fall apart. God has not allowed that to happen yet. He may yet. But once again, man's pride wants to take credit for getting all good gifts come from above. Turn over to James chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. Warning us of what is very easy for us to do. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Man's pride continues right from Eve till today and will continue until Christ takes everyone home and eternity is established. We are empowered and instructed by God through his grace with power and might to obtain the blessings he talked about. But it is God that gave us the power and might to do so. It is God that gave us the ability. It is God that instructs us how to do so correctly. But once the blessings are in place, we tend to forget the blesser, thinking that we're so great and greater than any other. We feel that we deserve the blessings by our own worth. You know, I'm breathing air. I deserve things, right? That's pretty much what the world is today. It is my hard work that gave me such wealth. Thou fool. God could have struck you down at any time. Solomon chose foolishness. Showing great humility, he sought wisdom to give God glory in leading Israel. God came and asked him, what would I give you? Knowing Solomon was going to be the next king of Israel, Solomon said, I'm foolish. I don't know how to do such a great country. Give me the wisdom that I can do so. He showed great humility. Showing great humility, God gave him the wisdom. And because he showed great humility with the wisdom, he gave him wealth beyond imagination. But man's praise went to his head, and he forgot God. Hearkening to man's praise, he ended up believing his own press and became lukewarm to God as he realized, hey, I'm so wise, and everyone's recognizing this wisdom. Amassing wealth and 1,000 wives and concubines, he ended up worshiping the wives' idols, and that replaced the glory of God. Ecclesiastes was written that Solomon recognized the error of his ways at the end of his life, but it cost him his kingdom. Was Israel greater than any other nation as across the Jordan? No. It was a small country. It was rather weak. It followed God. Now, anyone ever seen the bumper sticker? God plus me is a majority? The bumper sticker's wrong. God's a majority, period. Whether I follow him is up to me. But when Israel realized that, they weren't the greatest nation on earth. They were great because God made them great. They were great because God empowered them. They were great because God wanted to show that he would give them the victory. With trust in God, they took possession of the promised land and became the strongest and richest nation of all the earth. They didn't trust in horses and chariots as other nations. They trusted in God. You know, when we went through Joshua, I mean, think about the scene in Jericho. I mean, mighty nation, double-walled, impenetrable. And they basically run a parade around them for 6 days. You know, they probably had people coming out, hey, here comes those idiots again with the trumpets. Let's go watch them. Seventh day, hey, they went around again. They keep walking. What are these fools doing? They're making themselves tired. They're really going to attack us? Come on, give me a break. And as they continue to walk, finally they stop, they blow the trumpet, and all those walls come tumbling down. Now, why were the nations scared to death of Israel? Because they were seeing things they'd never seen before. They were seeing the power of God work through them. That is why Israel was so blessed. They lost their blessings when they looked at the blessings and forgot the one to bless them. Our nation is no different. Turning to God, we were blessed by God. We became the most powerful, richest country on earth, but we did no longer put our faith in Him. We put our faith on our universities. We put our faith in our politicians. We put our faith on our great wealth. Now, what does my money say? In God we trust. That's the only way that money is ever going to stay effective. Putting our faith in smart politicians, smart fiscal policy, a strong military, and a tolerant society, we have banished God from all public discourse. We need to get rid of Him that we can fit in with the rest of the world and become one with Him. We give wise fools from government credit for the blessings that God has given us. Our current government says, if we put God totally behind us, become tolerant of what those crazy fundamentalists used to call sin, raise taxes so the government can then come in and give us what we need and protect us, we will have the utopia that Satan promised Eve. Man, if only she didn't return to God, we would have had it so many years ago. That's the way the world looks at it, because Satan is in the lie, and we want to believe it, because we want to be our own God. God is long-suffering. He's chastising us right now. Anyone don't think we're being chastised right now? We're being chastised with debt, with strange weather, with earthquakes, with ISIS, diverse diseases, all kinds of things. If we would go to our knees and go to Him, we would once again be blessed. If not, we're going to continue to be chastised until, like Israel, we lose our independence and we'll be taken over by the Antichrist. We refuse to listen, imagining a vain thing as the heathen rage. From Psalm 2, we are seeking to break the bands asunder and cast God's cords from us, and quite frankly are being quite effective at it. But that will cost us greatly. It didn't work for Israel. Look at Israel in Jerusalem as they go to the temple. They worship a temple mount. It used to be the glorious temple, built an amazing temple. Right now they worship a foundation. They have been removed from society, and they will be continue to be removed until Christ returns and set things right. No, it did not work. It did not work for them as a nation. It will not work for us. Pride goeth before a fall, and great will be the fall of the House of the United States of America if they do not return to God. So, what ultimately caused their fall? As they desired to take credit, they served other gods. Once a nation turns from the worship of the true God and tries to give itself credit, Satan's false gods will become prominent. Since self is satisfied, gods be chosen to keep self satisfied. Our current false god is definitely self, with lesser gods worshipped who enrich the false god of self. We choose gods to improve the self by our own goodness, enrich self by the power to control some higher power that is there only to make us richer, and to enlighten ourselves by some secret wisdom that no one else has. My wisdom isn't secret. My wisdom's right here. It's given to everybody. That's what we need to follow. But if man only follows that, he can't make himself great. If I have secret wisdom and no one else has, all of a sudden people will come follow me. Every one of those apart from God as we work toward our quote-unquote perfection. Yet we all know we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no way, apart from Jesus Christ, that we can come to perfection, because none of us are perfect. Our Creator God of all that is good is a jealous God. Blessing us with His infinite power, He will give credit to no other God. Our God provides all by His own power. False gods teach us how to get things by our own power. Our God reforms us with the mind of Christ. False gods teach us how to empower our inner God that we may become God. Just like Eve. It's exactly the lie that Satan gave Eve. Our God sent His Son to redeem us from our sin. False gods allow us to rise above silly notions of sin and approach gods as equals. Solomon ended up worshiping the vile gods of the Canaanites. People often ask, how could God destroy all those nations? How could God just wipe everything out? Man, woman, child, everything. I mean, isn't that genocide? If you look at how they worshiped, you'll realize real quick why God judged those nations. Baal is who Solomon ended up worshiping, because his wives were worshiping Baal. Now, Baal defeats death every year by coming from the underworld and having sexual relations with Ashtaroth. Why? to bring fertility to the earth. Moloch is a type of Baal who received child sacrifices as products of fertility that the crops may come in. Temples were places of bisexual orgies to encourage Baal and Ashtaroth to come together. Why? So they could ensure good crops. By coming together, the gods would then provide the fertility for the crops to come up. Now, you'd have unfortunate products of all that excess. The unfortunate products were then brought in to be burned to Moloch so that we could show that we recognize the products of fertility and make our gods happy. You want to wonder why those nations were judged so harshly? Now, certainly the United States is above such iniquity. Certainly the United States is far, far above that. But our God of self reigns. Self-esteem, self-actualization, self-love, self-gratification. We have every self down pat except self-control. In the altar of our schools, children are taught sex education from kindergarten, including homosexual sex. In fact, they're told to try it before you condemn it. Not as a gift to God, establishing a one-flesh relationship, showing a picture of Jesus Christ to the church, but a way to satisfy self-gratification. What happens when the inevitable happens? Now, when you have all this, we're going to have unplanned pregnancies, right? We sacrifice our children to the Moloch of abortion. Over 50 million sacrifices have been offered since Roe v. Wade was made legal in 1973. Our false god protectors give children access to Moloch apart from our parents. You know, they're told, go ahead and try everything you want in high school. They're given condoms, and when those fail, well, just come on in. We'll allow you to sacrifice your child to the Moloch of abortion. Don't tell your parents. They don't understand. They're not as enlightened as we are. We wonder why we're being judged. But certainly, we don't think a God can change the weather for us like Baal and Ashtaroth, do we? Have you noticed what they've been doing with global warming? If we just come together and we worship the false god Gaia and give more taxes to the false god Gaia, we can fix global warming. Good luck with that. Churches are called to work against global warming by the Pope, the UN, mainstream church in the United States of America, President Obama, and all kinds of people. There are churches out there who have made their official stance the fight against global warming to honor God. Make that make sense out of that one. Each one hope in Baal and Ashtaroth will save us as our new God. As we worship the ancient gods of Israel, we're going to suffer the same punishment of Israel. If we continue in this way, this may very well be the very last Independence Day we ever celebrate. So looking at all this, today we do celebrate the independence of the greatest nation God has ever created. But President Obama says, we're not that great. Unfortunately, I think he's right. We claim his blessings while refusing to honor the God who has blessed us so. Worse, trying to exclude him from all public discourse as we honor the false gods of our new enlightened humanity. Now, I agree that now America is not great. Listen to the quotes of de Tocqueville given to Eisenhower in a campaign speech not that long ago. Now, de Tocqueville was the early 1800s. He came and looked at the United States. Listen to what he said. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers. And it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless forests. And it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world of commerce. And it was not there. In her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution. And it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. I ask you, is fundamental Christianity embraced or vilified in the United States today? Are God's laws honored or outlawed? We are seeing the dustbin where we will soon be swept into for all history. We have debt we cannot pay. We are attacked by ISIS all over the place. We're suffering everywhere, and we will not recognize it. We will not go to our knees and ask God for forgiveness, ask God for mercy, because we are above that. God is showing there's no one above that. God is showing he's the only one above that. Judah and Israel are not yet in the promised land because of sin. We will follow them for the same reason, giving credit of God's blessings to false gods and to self. Now, make no mistake, Trump will not make America great again. I'm not with Hillary as she demands the worship of Moloch through abortion. We will not be great until we humble ourselves and our leaders do the same. Amen. Leaders in the past have shown us that. Washington, Lincoln, Eisenhower, Reagan, all of those have called for prayer in the past. And all of them, by calling for prayer, humbling themselves in front of a holy God, has seen America be blessed at times where they were tough. Look at our laws today. Transgenderism, gay rights, abortion. There are many idols to self out there. Let us seek to keep our independence as the church encourages our leaders to follow 2 Chronicles 7:14. What does that say? Now, it's written to the nation of Israel, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It applies to us today. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. We will never be great again until we are good again. And we will only be good if we go to seek the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who will then bless this nation again. And we will only be good if God is once again in the forefront of this nation. And he is called God, and we recognize him for our blessings. Make no mistake. America is not special because we're Americans. America is special because God has blessed us greatly. When we recognize that fact, that is when we will be good, and that is when God will make us great again. If that does not happen, I believe Romans 1 tells us the Antichrist will soon be here. I believe that we will lose our independence quickly. Well, that's up to us. Now, we can't change the whole country. You know, how many do we have here? About 45, 50 today? Yeah, it's going to be hard to change the whole country there, but we can do our part. And if other churches do our part, God will honor that and slowly adjust the nation. But we must do our part. And if he chooses not to bless this country because of us, well, praise God, we'll be a warning to others in this area. What we need to do is honor God. If we honor God, God will honor us as a church, whatever he does with the nation. And with that, I forgot to get the, what number we got there?
345? Yeah, 345. Grace is greater than our sin.
And praise God for that.
Please do stand and join me in singing hymn 345. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide.
What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You never wanting to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
That grace is greater than all our sin. It's available to every one of us. It was available to this country. This country was founded on grace, God's grace, to allow us to establish a nation that could serve Him in spirit and in truth. We're throwing that away very quickly. Let us not throw that away here. Let us today seek to go to God. Seek, as Daniel did, to pray for the sins of his nation because he knew that God was returning. Let us ask God's forgiveness for the abortions, for the transgenderism, for the destroyed picture of his picture of one man, one woman for a life. Let us ask God for forgiveness and all those things. Will God hearken to our prayers? I don't know if he will or not, but at least he'll know that we are a faithful people and he will bless this body. And if there's anybody here who's never been saved, doesn't know that matchless grace, as we go silently to prayer, please come forward and I'll show you exactly how to be saved or see me afterward. It's not my way. It's the Bible's way. It's God's way. He has that infinite grace. He has shown it to this country. He's pulling it away because we are turning his back on him. But it's still available to anybody who will receive it. So if Jeannie would play one more verse, pray silently. Ask God for forgiveness for this nation. Ask God for leaders that will give back to us. And ask God what you can do to serve him in his church. Dear Heavenly Father, I stand amazed at the grace that you've shown us. I stand amazed that you sent your Son to die on a cross to save, to redeem the unredeemable, to save me, to save the people in this church. Lord, the grace you give is truly amazing. The grace you give is unfathomable by us. And Lord, I accept it only because you offer it, not because of anything I am, but only because you offered it to me. And that is true for everyone here. I also stand stupefied at America, that you have blessed so much, that you have blessed so well, and yet we refuse to honor those blessings. We refuse to honor the one who gave it to us. And Lord, we're suffering because of it. Lord, give us people that will stand up for truth, will stand up for righteousness, will admit our sins and go to their knees, humbly asking you for forgiveness, and we know that you will do so. And Lord, today let us, as a church, ask for the forgiveness for this nation's sins. Let us as a church honor you in spirit and truth, following every word that we can, in the Bible. And let us ensure that the grace that's available to all is given to this church, that you will hold it, you will protect it, and the gates of hell shall not stand against it because Jesus Christ will protect it. If there's anyone here who's not saved, Lord, does not understand that grace, let the day be the day that their heart is changed. Let the day be the day that you give them a new heart. They'll seek your face and honor you for your glory and your praise and your honor. Now let us, Lord, go and enjoy the bounties that you've given us. And let us enjoy the food that is downstairs. And let us give you praise, honor, and glory for it. We ask in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.